Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome, everybody, into the ESPN FC studios for this, the latest edition of the show. Alongside Ale Moreno, Steve Nichol, I'm Sebastian Salazar. Great to have you with us. We do have a lot to get to, including the AFCON final, Ivory Coast winners at home over Nigeria. But we'll save that for a little bit later in the show. Let's start in the Premier League, where Arsenal put an absolute drubbing on West Ham earlier Sunday. 6-0, the final score, a brace for Bukayo Saka, Saliba, Gabriel, Trossard, and Declan Rice. Adding to the damage there. What does it mean at the top half of the Premier League? Well, Arsenal up into third, even on points with Manchester City, though City do have a game in hand. Arsenal 2 points back of your current league leaders, Liverpool. For more on this, let's welcome into the show Don Hutchison. Don, what's the first order of business here? Heaping praise on Arsenal or hammering your former club, West Ham?
No, I think heap a bit on Arsenal. I think not so much the win, the goal difference. They scored 6 because they've got up to 31, the same as Man City. I think they're a point behind, goal behind Liverpool at the same time. So they've closed the gap in terms of the goal difference. The performance was brilliant. I mean, if you want to go on West Ham, they were horrendous. I mean, it could have been 9 or 10. I thought the defending was atrocious from either set plays or crosses into the box. It's unlike a David Moyes side. They very rarely get walloped. They're actually in decent form in terms of probably since about November-ish. But it was all Arsenal today. And Arsenal, I think, produced, away from home, probably a statement win.
You agree with that, Stevie?
6-0 away from home.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, listen, there's no doubt that Arsenal are lacking a goal-scoring centre-forward. But if you're going to score as many goals as they have done this season from set pieces, you can't do anything other than praise them. Mm-hmm. You know, set pieces are part of the game. And most people don't take enough notice of it and work hard enough on it. And clearly, Arsenal are working on it. I mean, that 16 goals is incredible.
How important is that for title race, Champions League, that kind of stuff? Is that where you get those kind of decisive moments?
Well, it's points. It's points is what it means. You know, you're getting a set piece goal to win a game. It's two more points than you would have had. So yeah, but as I said, not enough teams take it on board or don't treat it as important as they should. Mm. Because without those 16 goals, Arsenal's not in the title race. That's how important that is.
And to that end, Stevie, I would also go as far as to say, if you're going to recognize the qualities of Arsenal and the set pieces, you also have to say that takes work. It's not by accident.
Yeah.
It's not that you just show up and say, hey, guys, let's just swing it in. You see variety in their set pieces, sometimes a little too much variety in their set pieces, but you see movement inside the 18-yard box. That is, sometimes they start at the far post, sometimes they start at the near post, sometimes they're withdrawn at the penalty spot. The quality of the service is there. The quality and the pace with which the service, how it is driven into an area in which you have players from Arsenal attacking that area. All of that takes work, and all of that takes a coaching staff and a manager that stresses this as an important part of the game. And to your question, ultimately, when you get to a point in, say, for example, Champions League, where you need to decide whether you stay or you go home, yes, a set piece may just be the difference, particularly if indeed you don't have that center forward, that guy that could make up that difference, that guy that could score that big goal. Where can it come from? They all count the same, by the way. A set piece goal or a top corner goal, they all count the same. So the Declan Rice goal today, it counted the same as the headers, right? And so if you're Arsenal, you take this as part of your repertoire. You take this as part of who you are as a team. You continue to build on this. And of course, when you win 6-0 anywhere, whether it's at home or away from home, it builds confidence. You feel a whole lot better about yourself. As for West Ham, they lay down today. Mm. They quit. They lay down. And I don't say that easily and lightly, because as a former professional, it takes a lot for me to say that. But you watch some of the attitude today from West Ham, they lay down.
Let's get back to Arsenal real quick. I mean, they do seem to have figured something out. There was that stretch at the end of 2023 where they just couldn't get anything right. since the turn of the calendar year. I mean, they're blowing past teams. They got 16 goals in their last four Premier League games. After what we saw today, does it change kind of your evaluation of Arsenal for the title race?
No.
Really? Even what we've seen over the last month hasn't convinced you?
No, because they are missing that goal-scoring centre-forward. You know, I said that the reason they're in the title race is because of all those goals from set pieces.
Mm-hmm. Why can't they keep that up?
Well, because you can't rely on getting set pieces all the time. You can't rely on defenders not doing their job. You can't rely on, in particular, Johnson from West Ham taking a step back for the second goal. You can't rely on that. But what you can rely on is if you've got a 25-goal-a-season centre-forward. So it's just a little thing, and it's going to be little things that decide the title race. And unfortunately, I think that little thing called a goal-scoring centre-forward is what's going to cost Arsenal.
What kind of chances do you give them to win the title, if you had to put a percentage on it?
I think they're in third place. Percentage? 25, maybe.
25, okay. For the third place team, that's pretty good. Let's go to our percentages.
Oh, expert.
Expert here, Don Hutchison, over under Stevie's 25% for Arsenal to win the league after the 6-0 today.
Absolutely bang on. I'm going Man City 50, Liverpool 25, Arsenal 25. And I think it's about time, unless Stevie's going to be really stubborn, that I'm going to hold my hand up when Jurgen Klopp and Mikel Arteta, Unai Emery, they employed a set-piece coach, and me and Stevie sat on this show and went, a set-piece coach? Well, look now, fast forward a couple of years, how important a set-piece coach is. So I'm willing to put my hand up. I'm not sure about Stevie.
Well, I would if I'd said it, but I never said that. I was talking about the goalie
you
coach.
You did!
It was a goalkeeper.
I think the throwing coach.
Sorry, the throwing coach.
Yeah, that's right.
Not the set piece coach, no. Yeah.
You're all about the set piece.
Sorry, Dom.
That's all right. Do you know what, though, Sebi? I had a chat with an Arsenal fan today, and we both come to the conclusion, when you look at Arsenal, they're a fabulous side. And when you look at Liverpool, fabulous side. But when you talk about Man City, you're talking about a juggernaut, and you're talking about a manager that can have Jeremy Doku on the left-hand side. He can have Jack Grealish on the left-hand side. He's got Haaland. He's got Alvarez. The substitutes, Bernardo Silva, Kevin De Bruyne, Kyle Walker. That's the difference. When we're having a conversation about who can win the league, it's not because Arsenal are a bad side and they might be flaky and they might bottle it. It's because City are a juggernaut and they're streets ahead of anyone else. They've just gone, I think, 10 wins in 10 in all competitions. I think 6 on the spin in the Premier League. It's what they do. They're so good.
The camera's about to collapse on Don.
Yeah, it's a shaker than the West Ham defense there. Elsewhere in the Premier League Sunday, Manchester United 2-1 winners away against Aston Villa. Rasmus Højlund opening the scoring in the 17th minute. Douglas Luiz equalizing in the 67th minute. And then Scott McTominay off the bench and onto the score sheet with your game winner in the 86th. Don, will Villa be kicking themselves here?
Yeah, I think they will. And I think they'll be kicking themselves when they played Man U at Old Trafford when they were winning 2-0 and lost 3-2. I think you're looking at a Villa side, when you look at their 11, probably 12 or 13 is a very, very good team, stroke squad, but they haven't got the depth. I think from Man United's point of view, it tells you that you can measure everything. You can have data, you can have analysis on players. What you can't measure is a player and a team's confidence, and that's what Man United have got. I mean, thank goodness for them. And Man United fans, they didn't sell, and Eric Ten Hag didn't sell Scott McTominay when he didn't want him in the summer, him and Harry Maguire, who I thought was excellent today. So it shows you, if you're willing to spend time and coach players and give them confidence, how good he can be. He's been a game changer for them all season. He's got a brilliant attitude. He scored 2 when he came off the bench, remember, against Brentford, when he completely changed the game, where they were going to get beaten that game off the back of the Palace loss. So it just goes to show, if you can invest in the players that you've got and spend time in them and coach them and give them confidence and give them a little bit of guidance, Man United has still got some very, very good players at that club.
You know what's interesting about McTominay is he scores here coming on as a sub and he replaces Marcus Rashford. And you're thinking, if a team needs a goal, that's not the sub you're making. And yet, honestly, he's probably more likely, right, Stevie, to bring you that goal. Certainly, if Erik ten Hag, you've looked over to this guy a million times and he's bailed you out.
Yeah, I mean, you just look at McTominay's record that we just showed there. So, in some senses, it's a bit of a no-brainer. And at the same time, taking off Rashford, who this season in particular hasn't been putting the ball in the back of the net. So it kind of seems a bit of a no-brainer. But he's popped up and he's produced again. But unfortunately for McTominay, it doesn't matter how many goals he scores like that, he's always going to be coming off the bench.
Why? You think?
Well, because there's other players in front of him. Manu's absolutely 100% ahead of him. I mean, just along that midfield today, the midfield three, Casemiro, Manu and Fernandes, that's going to be their three definitely for the rest of the season and probably starting next season as well. So that means McTominay doesn't start, but he comes on if they need a goal. That's just the reality for McTominay. And eventually he's going to want away. Whether they want to let him go, I don't know, but eventually he's going to want to leave.
It's that fine line of coming off the bench and making an impact one too many times. Because guess what happens?
Yep.
You're the super sub.
Labeled.
You're the super sub. And so, look, you're effective coming off the bench. Whatever is it that you do coming off the bench seems to be far more effective and efficient than when you start the match. And so, therefore, guess what? Sit right there. You're going to get an opportunity to play. It won't be as long as you want to, but we're counting on you to make a difference. And he has done that. I will say this about the game in general.
Mm-hmm.
Aston Villa, and you ask whether they'd be kicking themselves. Yeah, it's one of those games, if you're Aston Villa, that you walk into the locker room and you kind of go, how did we lose that?
Yeah.
What happened? What? Because they had chances. Ollie Watkins has chances. Douglas Luiz had chances even after he scored the goal. They had moments of transition that if they pick out the right pass, Manchester United were all over the place defensively, and they didn't. Onana came up with saves in the first half, came up with saves in the second half. And so if you're Manchester United, you kind of frame this the other way and say, look, we find a way to win a game, a tough match away from home. If you're Aston Villa, you're saying, what in the world? How did we manage to lose that? They deserve a lot more out of this game, but this is not about deserving. This is about execution. This is about doing, and Manchester United did, instead of Aston Villa wishing that they did.
Mm. United right now 6 points back of Spurs in the top four. Don, based on what you saw today, you think Manchester United can make up those 6 points and get into the top four?
Maybe. I mean, their big hope is maybe in the Premier League this year. Top five might get you in the Premier League, but that's very, very complicated. I think the form that they're in, and just on the point, about, Scott McTominay, he's a player that's obviously in form and playing well and scoring goals. And the boys mentioned that he might be on the bench. If you're going on player performances and you look at the performances of Bruno Fernandes, if I'm picking one player that I think is going to be more of a goal threat for Man United, Scott McTominay or Bruno Fernandes, I think it's Scott McTominay. So why wouldn't you play the player in form? He plays at number 10 for Scotland. Steve Clarke plays him in that position.
Not a chance.
Certainly scores goals for Scotland. So, yeah, to answer your question, I think they can. They're in good form. They've got to make sure they keep the desire. I think the spine of the team is a lot more settled. I mean, they obviously lost Lisandro Martinez, so that's made them a little bit weaker. But in general, I think the spine with Casemiro's back and Højlund scoring goals looks a lot stronger.
What'd you say there?
Not a chance. McTominay plays in Bruno Fernandes.
Why not?
Because there's not. There's just not.
Why?
You know how the game works.
Who's the better player?
It's not. Well, Bruno Fernandes is a better player.
No, not on form.
What do you mean on form? McTominay's coming off the bench and scoring goals. What has that got to do with leaving your captain out and playing Scott McTominay? There is not a chance. There's more chance of Aston Villa winning the Champions League this year than Scott McTominay playing instead of Bruno Fernandes.
No, I don't think Ten Hag will do it. I'm asking the question, why would he not do it?
Because he won't. You just answered your own question.
Well, I know, but he should.
No, he shouldn't.
Sound like a very flexible manager. I would have hated to play for you.
You completely disrupt the whole... That particular move...
Why?
That particular move would completely disrupt the dressing room. Do you think Bruno Fernandes is not going to go absolutely bonkers?
I mean, is that reason why you don't do it? Eric Ten Hag's never been afraid to make a big move. No, he's not. He threw Ronaldo out of the team.
That's a no-brainer, absolute no-brainer. What you're talking about are two completely different things. If you want to go and upset the Man United dressing room, you know the best move? Drop Fernandes. Let's see how many hand grenades he throws when he goes in.
That might tell you, Stevie.
It's not going to change anything at Man United. United won this game today because of Harry Maguire, Varane, and the goalkeeper made some saves. It was about a defensive display. There is no way on God's earth that Bruno Fernandes is getting the hook and McTominay starting before them. Not a chance.
Last word to this,
Steve. That might tell you how fragile Bruno Fernandes is. if he's going to chuck his toys out the pram because he gets dropped. That's when you're in a, when you, Steve, you know what it's like when you play for Liverpool.
That's why he's not.
If you're not
dropped.
Performing.
But that's why he's not getting dropped on. He would completely and utterly destroy the dressing room. The carnage that would be caused in the dressing room if Bruno Fernandes, your captain, gets dropped and he plays Scott McTominay, because Scott McTominay's in better form.
I mean, he's scoring goals, he's scoring massive goals.
Example?
What more do you want
wouldn't
from
that
a guy?
Be a great example to the kids that are playing at Man United?
There's a reason Scott McTominay's coming off the bench. It's because he's not producing from the first minute to the 90th minute. Let's be honest, that's what Scott McTominay does best for Man United, comes off the bench and scores.
All right, let's bring it back to the top four discussion. No, Don, we're done. You guys can keep going around on this on extra time.
Not a chance.
Hey, you know what's funny?
I'll tell you what, hey, keep your eye on this.
Well, that's a bad example to set to a dressing room, mate.
Hey, you know what's funny, though? Don asked a question about an answer that he already knows the answer to the question. So
he said he wouldn't drop him.
It's a merely rhetorical question.
Yeah. I would.
Well, you just said you wouldn't. Three minutes ago.
No, he didn't think Ten Hag would. Exactly. Let's leave it there for now. All right, Manchester United top four.
No.
No? Not just because you've been yelling about him?
Listen,
not just because they're not
Aston Villa.
Aston Villa. The 11.
In terms of football, look, right. You've got to give Manchester United credit, right? They bossed the game for 25 minutes until they scored, and then they completely sat in and they went on the break. And when Aston Villa equalised, there was only one winner. Let's be honest. If you're watching this game rationally, there was only going to be one winner. And I wasn't thinking it was Man United, because Varane and Maguire, and as I said, Onana made some saves, and Man United got a challenge in whenever it was necessary, or they put somebody off. That's why they won this game today. That's why they won the game today. So they may be on a good run of results, but come on. Aston Villa should have got something out of this game. Man United were fortunate to take 3 points today.
If you had to pick between Villa and United to catch Spurs, who would you pick, Ali?
Well, neither.
You had to pick.
Well, it's a dumb question because neither one of them are catching Spurs. But if indeed one of them would be, I would say Aston Villa, actually.
Really? Even despite the fact they lost today?
Are you not seeing the table? Because, isn't there a
pot? A lot of football left.
I know, but it's a 5-point differential between
Aston Villa just outplayed them in football terms.
Yeah.
But they lost at home to them.
Right,
certainly that matters.
But you can't.
It's a results business, isn't it?
I know, but it's 5 points. Hey, hold on. But it's a results business, so the points matter, right?
Yes.
So the 5-point differential now between Manchester United and Aston Villa matters, yes?
Mm-hmm. Yes, but there's some momentum now for Manchester.
And
you could argue that there's a lack of momentum for Villa. They're not exactly going in the right direction, are they?
Okay, so hold on. Seb, let me just get to it. Is Manchester United going to catch Spurs?
I wouldn't bet on it.
Okay, then, well, there you go. Then what are we talking about?
I'm also not allowed to bet on it. There's rules around here, so we.
I thought it was a great question.
Thank you, Don.
There you go.
I knew we kept Don around for some there. All right, we also got Don for extra time. He's going to be joining Stevie and Ale, taking questions from you on social media. So make sure to check that out later on today.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's electricebikes.com.
Barcelona hosting next to last Granada on Sunday, and it did not go to plan. Final score 3-3. Barca goals coming from Lamine Yamal, who had a brace, Robert Lewandowski as well. But Granada got goals from Ricard Pelistri and Ignacy Miquel as Barcelona drop points at home. So what does it mean at the top of the table? Well, a missed opportunity at least for Barcelona to pull even further ahead of Atletico Madrid, who themselves did not have a great weekend. And then at the bottom of the table, massive, massive result for Granada. At least that 1 point will feel better as it pulls them a little bit further away from last place, Almeria. For more on this one, let's welcome to the show our very own former Barcelona man, Luis Garcia. Luis, what's the big takeaway from this game? As we said, there was some moments of magic. There were three goals from Barcelona, but at the end of the day, you shipped three against next to last place. That's got to be a major disappointment.
Xavi, even though that in the last few minutes you could see that he was trying to push the players, trying to push them and tell them that they have chances, because actually they create quite a few chances. They capitalized three of them, but in the end it's all about how many problems Barcelona has got at the back. As you could see in a couple of the goals, players running around, not knowing what is that, their position, what the ball is going to be, looking at each other to say, you have to cover me, or I'm the one who's covering this space. So there is really a misunderstanding, a judgment at the back. And that's the problem that Barcelona has been having during the whole season. It doesn't matter if it's Cubarsí with Christiansen or with Araujo, with Koundé. In the end, there is a lot of problems Barcelona needs to address at the back, because that's the only way that they are going to change and trying to be more consistent. It was the third time, and Gemma mentioned in the beginning of the game, the three games in a row that Barcelona could have get a good result, a victory, and maybe lift them a little bit until the end of the season, knowing that the distance with Real Madrid is just too big to catch them up. But in the end, it is a big disappointment to see once again Barcelona scoring three goals and conceding three at the same time.
Alex, we look around this Barcelona 11, because we can talk about the manager all we want. Who for you is not pulling their weight, or at least didn't in this game today?
Across the board, you can point the finger every which way. Defensively, Barcelona are embarrassing. When you think about Barcelona this season, and it's not just this game, it's Alavés, it's Mallorca, it's Almeria. It doesn't matter who they play against, Celta de Vigo, so on and so forth. Whoever they play, and we mentioned that in the pregame, if you play against Barcelona, you're going to score goals. That is how bad they have been defensively. It doesn't matter how much you've been struggling in front of goal, you're going to get opportunities against Barcelona. And today was yet another good example of that. They have so many difficulties defensively with just lack of structure, just basic defending. I'm not even talking about, hey, we're going to be Italy in the 90s. We're just going to be Il Catenaccio and sit back behind the ball and nobody's scoring. I'm not asking you to be Atletico Madrid under Simeone, old school Atletico Madrid. No, I'm not saying Diego Godin has to play center back for you. No. I'm asking just basic stuff. Basic stuff. And so when you look at the second goal, for example, Jules Koundé, who's playing right back, Cubarsí is the center back. Cubarsí doesn't get enough on the header, but Koundé has already come and collapsed towards Cubarsí, which then means that he's leaving his guy open at the back post. That ball then drops at the back post and nobody reacts. Nobody reacts from Barcelona. The only person that reacts is Usuni and then Pelistri. Who is defending at the back post? Once Koundé collapses to a Cubarsí, now Usuni's by himself, and then Pelistri is all by himself too. So now you have three guys inside the 18-yard box who end up playing the ball all by themselves without any sort of challenge from a Barcelona defender. That's one goal. Mm-hmm. But we can go, in terms of the goals that they scored today, and we can go through all the goals that they have been scored this season, and you can, it's not like teams are breaking Barcelona down with some incredible play and that you would say, you know what, hey, you know, Jude Bellingham in El Clásico, you put it in the top corner, hey, you can't do much about that. But not this. Mm. This is happening week in and week out. And it goes back to a point that we made at halftime and we made at pregame. I'm being told by people, you know what, Xavi having announced the fact that he's going at the end of the season means that the players are now free of this pressure. He told us that now the players will be freed of this pressure. The problem is, I don't care what pressure they feel free now. They can't defend. Mm. And so now, magically, just because Xavi announced whatever he announced, it doesn't mean that now you can defend, because you're still lacking structure. You're still lacking basic concept. You're still lacking effort defensively. And until you stop that, until you stop giving up three goals to a second-to-last place team, then we're going to continue to be having these conversations.
We saw it at the half, Xavi in frustration, punching the chair after the goal from Granada. Luis, you know Xavi well. What do you think he's most frustrated about coming off this performance?
There are a few things that I'm sure that he must be they're very disappointed and frustrated about it. First thing is why Barcelona is, of course, conceding so many chances, so many options, because Ali is talking about the pressure. You feel the pressure when you're on the ball. That's when you can have the pressure, because you don't know what you have to do with it, where to pass the ball, the movements. But when the problems that Barcelona is having is when he's not on the ball. That's when they are having a lot of trouble, where the players have to be, where the covers have to be done. If the center back has to cover the fullback have to cover that's the problems that they have. And of course, Xavi can create a system and a style of play, but when the ball is on the move, he cannot be with a remote control like a PlayStation, move the player where they should be. That's the players where they have to understand, analyze the game, and read what is happening on the field. And that's something that we cannot go on Xavi's. We have to look at the players and tell them, listen, guys, you have to be more focused. You have to be reading the game every single time, because Ali was mentioning about that goal. Iñaki Martínez out of position because he's left his position to go to the wide area. So he's the fullback, the left fullback, who has to cover the place, or the center midfielder who has to cover his place. And that's not happening. Everybody is ball watching. So you cannot go to Chavez and tell him, listen, make your players do that, because they are the players who have to take those decisions. So I'm thinking that's what Xavi is most frustrated about, that the players are not able to read what is happening on the field or what is needed to be done.
If there is one player right now to Barcelona undoubtedly pulling their weight, it's the youngest one. I mean, Lamine Yamal, those two goals today, something special.
Yeah, but unfortunately, the focus is not going to be on Lamine Yamal. I mean, it should have been. If you score three goals at home, you have to win the game. You can't not be taking the 3 points. But if you want to look at Lamine Yamal and talk about all the good things, then I can be here all day. Unfortunately, he's got 10 others. Or maybe 10 is not the right way to put it, but there's too many Barcelona players who are not producing what they're capable of. What he's doing is producing what he's capable of. Unfortunately, what is going on around them, and particularly behind them, they're not doing the job. And it's as simple as that. What's going on behind them is school-by stuff. Mm. And so, unfortunately for him, when he produces the goods the way he did today, unfortunately the focus is going to be going on the schoolboy defending behind him. Mm.
Luis, is he the most goal-dangerous player right now for Barcelona? And if so, as Stevie points out, what does that say about the rest of the guys?
Yeah, exactly. And we've been talking about leadership on this Barcelona side, and we are relying on a 70-year-old kid that he was playing for Barcelona for already, 30 games or so, and the goals has to come from this side. Every single one of the players on the field, they are looking to bring the ball to him, because he is the one who is beating players, crossing, creating chances, and of course scoring today. It was a fantastic goal, not only because he hits the ball perfectly, it's because his reaction when he miss and lose the chance, miss the ball and goes back to get the ball and recover the ball, regain the ball once again. And he gets the reward by receiving that ball and scoring. That's the attitude that you need from the player. That's the desire that you need from everyone on the field. I've seen some complacency on the field and some moments where they concede the ball, or when they concede the goals, or where they get frustrated because things are not going the way that they want. So, yeah, it's a pity that we are talking only about Lamine Yamal. I think that we have a fantastic future star for Barcelona for many, many years. And we have to enjoy right now. But it's a pity that that's the only thing that we can see as a positive thing for this Barcelona in this season 23-24.
The most impressive thing about Lamine Yamal is that while we have these conversations about this overwhelming pressure that these Barcelona players are feeling, well, if indeed that's the case, then you would have to imagine that the 16-year-old Lamine Yamal would be feeling it as well. And he plays pressure-free. He plays Give me the ball and I'm taking players on. Give me the ball and I'm cutting to the inside. I'm cutting to the outside. It's a step over. It's creative. It's scoring goals. It's creating chances for others. It's being an option when somebody has the ball, actually making a move ahead of the ball so that you make yourself available. There's a lot going on right now from Barcelona. When somebody has the ball, there's a lot of this, I'm going to make the movement, but not really. I don't really want this ball because I don't want to get myself in trouble. Lamine Yamal right now is not afraid of that trouble. He's actually welcoming the pressure. There's a maturity to his game that you wouldn't expect from the 16-year-old, that you would expect from other people in this team, that is not quite happening for others, but it is happening for him.
There you have it. Yamal, the youngest player ever to score two goals in La Liga. Luis said he was 17. He's not 17 yet. He still won't turn 17 until the summer.
You know how Luis is.
Just remarkable.
My bad.
Accuracy, very important to us here.
He looks 17, though. He does.
He looks 17. He looks.
He's grown up quite a bit. Well, this season has made him older.
Thank you very much, Luis. One more game to go then in match day 24 across La Liga, and that is on Monday afternoon right here on ESPN+. Big game for Athletic Club, who currently sit fifth, just 3 points back of Atletico Madrid, who are the last team in the top four. They're heading to Almeria, who, as you saw earlier, in a absolute dogfight there at the bottom of the table. And after the game, Gemma Soler caught up with Marc-Andre Ter Stegen.
After your comeback 3 months later, I guess disappointed for the result and the three goals. How are you?
Yeah, good evening, first of all. Yeah, very disappointed about the result, obviously. I think we could have done better, but I think they played with a lot of attitude. They tried to play out from the back. In the first half, it was a bit more difficult for us to get a bit more grip on them. So in the second half, the two goals they score. I think they're not really out of a crazy good situation, but at the end they were there and they scored. And then you have to run behind, which is not comfortable, obviously.
The attitude, as you mentioned, it's here. The self-esteem to keep trying, it's here. What do you think is missing to not to concede so easily or so fast?
Yeah, I think we even more in the first one, I think we could have done better, obviously. I think we had many men in the area, and so at the end we weren't able to avoid the goal. And I think we have to do better. Definitely, we have to keep going now. There are many games to play still, and so keep working. Now we have a long week. We want to prepare ourselves and hopefully we can close the goal for the next games.
Yeah, many games to play. It's 10 points, Real Madrid, the difference now. Do you think it's possible or you somehow said goodbye to La Liga today?
No, I think there are many games still left. Obviously, it will be complicated, but we will always believe in our chance. We still play them. We obviously have to do our homework. And if this is the case, I think we have still chance to get closer to them. And let's see, at the end, the season is long and there are still many games to play. But first of all, we have to look at ourselves.
Just a quick one about yourself. How did you feel after these 3 months, after surgery?
Yeah, at the beginning, I think it took a bit of time to get back into it, with distances, with timings and so on. But afterwards, I felt way more comfortable. And I think, obviously with the three goals I conceded, I'm not happy at all. I wished for a better re-debut. And now we have a big game ahead again. And so we will try again and hopefully with better feelings.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank you.
Welcome.
Muchas gracias.
From getting the interviews to being the subject of the interviews, Gemma Soler joining us live now from the Olympic Stadium there in Barcelona. Obviously, not the best mood from Marc-Andre Ter Stegen. How else would you describe the mood there in Barcelona after this 3-3 draw against the next-to-last team in La Liga?
Guelsev, there is a mood of disappointment, yet another one this season, and it's a season full of disappointments because at some point one could think, okay, at least we can try to chase Girona, that second place that allows you next season to fight for the Spanish Super Cup. And at some point, if Real Madrid fails, maybe we're going to be there. And once again, conceding 3 goals at home, this is not usual for Barcelona, it's a different stadium. But I think it's once again the pressure, the solidity of the team in the back. It's urgent that they try to work on that and manage to get a more efficient high pressure and also take the chances, because once again the first half was a really bad one for Barcelona. And then when they are when they see that the rival getting better, then they try to do that. But I think that Xavi's announcement, he said that will help the players to release and somehow they will make a team and motivate them, and this is not happening.
Thank you very much, Gemma. As always, great stuff. Gemma, they're mentioning Real Madrid. For us, it's worth mentioning Jude Bellingham's injury. This happened in yesterday's game against Girona, a game, by the way, in which he scored 2 goals and they won 4-0. Turned his ankle over a couple times. Once you see there in the first half and then again here in the second half, he would actually stay on after this incident
and score
his second goal, yeah, about 10 minutes later. But the diagnosis from Real Madrid is that he will be at least out 2 to 3 weeks. So certainly the first leg of the round of 16 tie against RB Leipzig, and maybe the second leg as well. But that's not till the first week later in February. Here's a look at the La Liga schedule for next week. Villarreal and Getafe kicking things off on Friday. Real Madrid, they'll be in action next Sunday. A little Madrid derby there, visiting Rayo Vallecano.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Africa Cup of Nations final goes to the hosts, Ivory Coast, with a come-from-behind 2-1 victory over Nigeria. William Troost-Ekong opened the scoring for Nigeria in the first half, but a pair of second-half goals, the first from Frank Kessie, the second from Sebastien Allaire. The difference is Ivory Coast picks up their third AFCON crown. For more on this, let's go live to Ivory Coast, where we find our good friend and colleague, Ali Udo, who is, of course, Nigerian. I don't want to twist the knife too hard. So let's save the Nigeria stuff for last. Let's not bury the lead here. Ivory Coast are your champions. Colin, how did they get it done? How did they come from behind in this match and turn things around in that second half?
Well, I think, first of all, I've got to say congratulations to them. They totally earned it. And look, when you say how did they come from behind, it was obvious. Nigeria played a very conservative game, which they've done all tournament. Fair credit to the coach. They've done the same, played the same way all tournament, ceded possession, and just let teams come at them, which is why they've been really, really hard to beat at this tournament. Prior to this game, they'd never conceded more than a goal. In fact, they'd only conceded one goal from open play. The other ones have been from penalty kicks. And so for them to concede 2 goals, Ivory Coast were determined. They had a home crowd behind them. They had the momentum of having come back from the dead behind them. And so I think they played a very good game. They were focused. They were determined. They were attacking all throughout the game. I thought that at some point, especially after Kessi scored that equalizer, I thought the Nigeria coach would have turned things around and sort of gone after the Ivorians. He didn't do that. He let them continue playing conservatively. And when you do that, I mean, you're always going to concede when you let teams come at you. And by the way, the shirt I'm wearing is from 2013. That's all the players from 2013 team signed it after that victory. So I've got the signature, the autographs of all the players of the team that won the AFCON in 2013 signing the shirt.
All right. Colin is a young guy, but I know he's been covering AFCON for a long time, so he has a good historical perspective. This Ivory Coast team, I mean, they lost two of three in the group phase, Colin. Have you ever seen anything like this where a team could be so bad and then come back and win the tournament?
I've never seen it, to be honest. I mean, I'm not just AFCON. I don't think it's happened at any tournament. And I mean, someone correct me if I'm wrong, but again, I think that this, once teams get off the group stage and get into the knockout phase, things just take a life of their own. I don't think Ivory Coast were the best team at this tournament, but I just think that, you know, that experience of having almost gone out and then coming right back is what helped propel them this far. If you look at the games, I think this was one of their better games that they played at this tournament. The semifinal and this final. So they seem to have got better. In the group stage, they were terrible to watch. In the round of 16, they barely just made it. In the quarterfinal, they squeaked through. So it was the semifinal and this final for me were the two games where they've had some really, really great football play. And I've got to say that, you know, just almost going out, seeing the reaction of the fans, and then come storming back, getting a new coach, that whole new coach bounce is just what has propelled them this far. And I've got to say again, congratulations to them.
Colin, what do you suppose the reaction to this defeat will be back in Nigeria? I know the manager, Pesedo, was already kind of under pressure before the tournament even began, right?
Yeah, I mean, you're still under pressure. I think I mentioned on one of these shows earlier on that, you know, his conservatism has taken him this far, but the first game Nigeria between playing that way, it's going to be the same conservative petard that he's going to be hung by. And it's already going on. Look, we have our Nigeria WhatsApp groups everywhere. There are forums on social media and stuff. And the one thing everybody's going on about is the way he plays, the defensive way he plays. I'm talking about how they should get new coaches, someone like Emmanuel Amunike, to come in and bring some more attacking verb to the Nigeria team. For me, I think he's done a good job with this team. He's made them a more solid, organized unit. And look, if he just needs to work on this team a little bit more, I don't think he deserves to be fired. He's done a good job, so I think he should stay. But, you know, I don't make the calls, and there are people back home who think that he's taking this team as far as he can, and he should be let go for someone else to come in and take them to the World Cup qualifiers.
Colin, speaking of managers, Ivory Coast manager who wins this tournament with an interim tag, does he get to keep his job now?
Well, would you fire him?
I wouldn't.
But look, you see, the thing is, you never know with football administrators. If you remember, when former coach was fired, they actually went begging to the French Football Federation to see if they could get Everena to come in as a temporary coach for the AFCON. They want to qualify for the World Cup, same as every other country in Africa. And right now, I don't know what the emotions are there, but I think they might still be on the path where they want him, they want a permanent coach to take them through the World Cup qualifiers. Because this year, it's going to be a very, very difficult year for all Africans. There's only one window in March for friendly games. The rest are taken up by World Cup qualifiers. And I think he's sitting on a powder keg right now. And they might keep him until the first game of the World Cup qualifiers. But any little mistake there, I don't think he's going to last very long.
Colin, we have booked you for extra time today. Are you emotionally fit for it?
Oh, wow. He's got the jersey for it.
I believe I should be. Do I look like I'm not?
I got to tell you, for somebody whose team just lost a final, Colin in a very, very good mood.
Professional.
So, we look forward to having him on extra time. You should also look forward to the next edition of the Gab and Jules podcast, which will actually feature Jules and Rabo, because we know Gab likes to take his vacation. Surely the boys will be talking some more AFCON over there.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
With everyone fighting for attention, how can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy. Get Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning marketing platform has helped millions of small businesses stand out, stay top of mind, and see big results. Fast. Constant Contact makes it easy to promote your business with powerful tools like email and SMS marketing, social media posting, and even events management. With Constant Contact, you'll reach new audiences, grow your customer list, and communicate more effectively to sell more, raise more, and fast-track growth. Don't know much about marketing? No sweat. Constant Contact's writing assistance tools and automation features help you say the right thing at the right time, every time. Plus, you can send with confidence, knowing your emails are actually reaching your customers thanks to Constant Contact's best-in-class 97% deliverability rate. Tackle any challenge with Constant Contact's expert live customer support. Plus, everything's backed by their 30-day money-back guarantee. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
Look at the top half of the Serie A table. A couple big results today. One of the big results today, actually, Milan beating Napoli by a final score of 1-0. The lone goal in that one from Theo Hernandez moves Milan to within 8 points of Inter, your league leaders, who had a big 4-2 win over Roma. Don Hutchison joining us to talk a little bit of Serie A. Milan, 4 wins out of their last 5, picking up steam at the right time. No, Don?
Absolutely. The only Inter that are in better form than Milan at the moment. It was a good game tonight. It was a very tactical game. I called a game and Mazzarri, the Napoli manager, tried to change shape. He went from Spalletti's 4-3-3 to 3 at the back, and they confused Pioli's men. Took them about 25 minutes to get into the game, and they scored a brilliant goal. I mean, the link-up play, I think there's only 3 men involved. I think Theo Hernandez started the move. He played it into Giroud, who's very secure. He kept hold of the ball, played it off to Rafa Leao, who then found Theo Hernandez. He scored the goal 1-0. Then Napoli went back to their tried and trusted 4-3-3 in the second half. They brought Politano on, who had a real impact on the game. They got Raspadori on. They were missing Victor Osimhen, obviously, tonight because he was playing in AFCON, so they'll welcome him back. But it's a Napoli side that won the league last season, Seb, who have not gone back-to-back wins in 6 months. So they've got no momentum. They've got no sort of form. They can't cling on to anything in terms of stringing a few results together. So they need Osimhen back. But in terms of Milan, the players at the end on 96 minutes when the final whistle went, they all hit the floor because they realised in the second half they had to really grind and work and put a shift in for the win. It was a tight game, but they just got over the line.
Don, we just saw Barcelona ship 3. You think Napoli can give them trouble in the Champions League?
Absolutely. I mean, the 3 that will probably play will be Politano, who's a left-footed player on the right-hand side, who's a sort of jinky little winger who can cut inside onto his left foot. He's got a good shot. He gets goals, assists. Osimhen will be back. As I said, back from the AFCON. You know how much I rate him. I think he's one of the best centre-forwards in world football. And Kvaratskhelia, £120 million player, he was superb again tonight. So if they're on the offensive, Napoli could put goals against anyone. The worry is they don't really do clean sheets, but they were so much better tonight.
You know what that means. There are going to be goals because Barcelona can't defend either. So there you go.
Don, you mentioned there's no team hotter than Milan. And the only team hotter than Milan, I should say, is Inter. They had a big 4-2 victory over Roma. Just how impressive was it?
They're the best team, Seb. I mean, they were Champions League finalists last season. They went for the treble last season. I think they're a terrific team. They've got a fantastic squad. They've got the best squad, I think. But that was a statement win for them. I think Daniel De Rossi's gone, I think, 3 wins on the spin since he's took over the job after Jose Mourinho left. He's done a good job in terms of the results. Performances have been a little bit sort of just got over the line. But when you watch Inter, they're so good. They've got patterns of play. They've got great individuals. As I said, you know, they change wing-backs, I think, on the hour mark. It's quite regular. That it's a pattern that the manager does. He changes them because he wants fresh legs on the pitch. They seem to have a really intense team where it doesn't matter who's playing. We had the conversation with Scott McTominay, Bruno Fernandes before. Inter are the type of team, it doesn't matter who's playing. They've got star players, obviously, but the manager's philosophy is, if you're not playing well, I'll take you off. If you're fading in the game, I'll take you off. And always, I've always got players on the pitch that are always 100%ers.
Inter 7 points clear of second place Juve. They're in action tomorrow against Udinese. A reminder to check out the ESPN FC YouTube channel, joining more than 3 million subscribers over there today. Here's a look at the bottom half of the Premier League table. We find Chelsea and Crystal Palace. Palace hanging desperately close to the drop zone there in 15th place. Why are we highlighting these two teams? Well, of course, because they'll be meeting on Monday in Premier League action. Here's a look at the odds.
Goodness.
Okay.
Please tell me we're not previewing this match.
Oh, we're previewing it. We're previewing it. Stevie, is this a weird game where Chelsea's a favorite?
Yeah, that's trouble for Chelsea.
And they should be the favorite?
Well, it's really strange, isn't it? Because Chelsea haven't strung two games together.
Right.
Never mind this season.
So it's almost like when they play well, the next game you expect them.
You're guaranteed. Yeah. The problem is, they're playing against a team. I don't remember the last time they put a performance together. This is the strangest game. Listen, on paper, you've got to say Chelsea's the favourites. But it wouldn't be a shock if Chelsea didn't win this game or Palace won it. I mean, it wouldn't. I mean, we just don't know what we're going to get. The fact that Crystal Palace are at home, you would think that crowd would get behind them. But at the same time, again, it's kind of like you're guessing. Because at home, they haven't been good either. So, I don't know what to tell you. This is weird. Really. This is really strange.
Chelsea are the favourites. Do you trust them on Monday?
I actually do, because I don't see a Crystal Palace win because their best two players are injured. Eberdi Chiesa, he's injured. Michael Olise is injured. Remember when he came on the game a week or two ago when he was injured and come off the bench on 45 and then ruptured his hamstring. So he's out for about another 6 or 7 weeks. They don't score goals, Palace. That's their problem. They've got no goal scorers. They've got people like Jeffrey Schlupp. They've got people like Ayew. And I mean no disrespect whatsoever because they're great professionals and they're good players. Mateta's another one. They've got hard workers, but they don't score goals. So it depends on what Chelsea you get. If you get the form of Chelsea in the Premier League, as Stevie said, the unpredictable, if you get the way they played against Villa in the Cup, in the FA Cup, where I thought they were absolutely sensational, by the way, Chelsea, if you get that performance, there's only one winner, and that's Chelsea.
Everything's F. Huh? Everything starts with F.
Sensational? I'm not calling Chelsea sensational.
Against Villa?
Sensational.
Yeah!
Sensational.
It did look good that day. They did look good that day. All right, Ale, you didn't want to preview Chelsea, so we kept it short. We kept it short for you.
Well, thank you. Thank you for that.
Tomorrow's
Jeffrey
edition.
Schlupp. I got a Schlupp mention.
Hey. Educational, informative, if nothing else, here on ESPN FC. We'll try to do the same on tomorrow's edition of the show, which, of course, starts at 6 p.m. Eastern time on Monday here.
Are you going to be looking at that back at that game?
I will not be looking back at that game. I'll be getting ready to host Football America's, baby.
Here we go.
It's Kay is back in charge tomorrow. All right, that'll do it for this edition of ESPN FC. Thanks to you for watching, but don't go far. Extra time starts right now.
Seb gone.
I don't know.
Hey there, everybody.
Hey! Selfish. You didn't want me to show my pace, huh? I see how it is.
We've seen your pace. I've seen your pace.
It's good. Change of pace.
I've been invited over to the Moreno Mental in a little bit for a little soccer action.
It's winter time.
Stevie, why don't we get you out there? Your shoulder's all healed up, right?
Unfortunately, it's that one.
Alan and Stevie with me, of course, here in studio. Don and Colin with us as well. Of course, Colin in mourning after his Nigeria fell to Ivory Coast in the AFCON final.
A professional. True professional.
Absolutely. Uh-huh. A true professional. Wish we could say the same about Don. Would you celebrate if you score against your former clubs? Of course, Declan Rice scoring a banger today for Arsenal against West Ham. It was the sixth goal, so probably another reason not to celebrate there. Would you, Stevie? You would celebrate.
Absolutely.
Ale?
Why wouldn't you?
You're kidding me?
Yeah?
get it. Take that. Take that.
Yeah. What about the fans, though? The fans that cheered you on for so many
years. Couldn't care less about me. Are you kidding me? I couldn't care less. Get that. Take that.
Don Shirley, you played for everybody in Britain. You must have scored against a former employer once or twice.
Damn right with Ali. Go on, get it up. Yeah, I'm right, exactly the same. I was a Newcastle fan, or still am a Newcastle fan, but when I played for Sunderland, their arch rivals, I scored at St James's Park, and I'd done the unthinkable. I didn't just celebrate, Seb. I kissed the badge.
Wow.
Oh.
And they still let you in the stadium, huh? To this day, wow.
Ooh, I didn't get out too well, though.
Harry has our next question here.
He must have got beat up. Somebody must have tried to beat him up.
Oh, God. Honestly, worst thing I've ever done.
I hope you didn't some crazy go, stories about the Millwall parking lot. And that was when he was playing for Millwall.
Yeah, but that's normal at Millwall.
To their own players?
Aye. All right. Kidding.
Yeah. Okay, Chamber of Commerce.
You know what they used to do?
What?
If you played badly, they would all be waiting by your car.
Oof.
And when you got in it, they'd all start shaking it. And the car, you'd be in the car, you'd be bouncing up and down.
Sounds kind of fun.
And if you were lucky, they let you go.
Right. I saw Stevie on the show dismissing the throw-in coach. Did he know Arsenal are the only team with two goals from throw-in set pieces in Europe's top five leagues this season? Ooh, what do you know, Stevie?
Squirrel. Squirrel in the nut.
I think this undoubtedly
Name me a team that
wrong.
Hasn't scored from a throw-in. Come on, name me a team that hasn't scored from a throw-in.
Leverkusen scored from a throw-in yesterday in a big game against Bayern, didn't they?
And they don't have a throw-in coach, do they?
They could have scored from everywhere yesterday against Bayern.
All right, we'll move on from that one. For Don, obligatory percentage question. Percentage chance... Oh, we already did this in the show. Percentage chance Arsenal win the league this year. You said... What did you say? 25%?
25. Well, what does Colin say? Another... About Colin? What does Colin say?
25 each, Man City 50.
Okay. What do you say, Colin?
For Arsenal?
Yeah.
Well, look, Arsenal, we all know, are master butlers, so I'm going with 10%.
10%?
All right, okay.
That's a welcome to the show.
Yeah.
Massive bottlers. Go on, Cole.
They don't like bottling.
You're getting to them.
Yeah.
Don't hold back.
Hey, you know your team is lost when this is your first answer.
I was just about to say, that's some AFCON frustration boiling over.
Nigeria frustration coming out. Yes, sir.
What about you, Ali? You haven't done percentages for us on the Premier League title race. Or at least not in this show.
I'm pretty sure I've done 50, 30, 20. 50 Manchester City, 30 Liverpool, 20 Arsenal.
Okay. Did you clarify your other percentages? You said 25 for Arsenal. Did you say the other two?
Look at this guy.
I asked because Don said 50.
Have you got a shop or something? Have you got a wee store somewhere?
What do you mean a wee store?
Your percentages and your coins and...
What?
What are you on about?
What does a store have to do with percentages?
Hold on a second. Have you done all your percentages?
A wee store.
I don't know about you guys, but we've got this thing here in Nigeria about Arsenal being an elephant at the top of a tree. What happens to an elephant at the top of a tree? It always ends up back where it started from, which at the bottom. So.
Oh, okay. I love that Colin one.
He's a big Arsenal man, Colin.
Can I ask Colin a question?
Go on, Don.
Sure.
Go ahead.
Colin, correct me if I'm wrong, but I heard something on the radio the other day. I'm pretty sure it was Nigeria. But the Nigerians say Dundee United. Like, don't be a Dundee United. Like, don't be a fool.
I mean, right
so
from,
a fool,
right when I was
a fool
up,
is Dundee
if
United.
Says, I mean, yeah, if I want to tell you that you're dumb, they're like, you're Dundee United. So, Dundee,
where does that come from?
It's been there from, like, forever. So for us, it's a regular thing. I'm surprised that you guys are just finding out now.
Anti-Arsenal, anti-Scottish Premier League.
Now, just a logistic question, just for clarity. Mm-hmm. How does the elephant get on top of the tree?
Don't ask questions.
They've got all these big cranes now.
Just saying.
Yeah. How did the Egyptians build the pyramids? I mean, there's ancient mysteries that
look,
we don't
if you
know.
If you hear a Nigerian talking about elephants, just know we're referring to Arsenal.
For Stevie, should there be rules to prevent rising teams like Leverkusen from being dismantled just after one season? By the end of the season, not only Alonso will leave, but many players will be targeted by big teams, thus probably the end of this promising team, similar to Leicester.
Hey, it's the law of the jungle, isn't it?
Yeah.
Hey, kill or be killed.
What about the elephant? If the elephant is on top of the tree...
Yeah. I mean, if
can you kill the elephant if it's
falls,
on top of the tree?
If it lands on you, you're dead.
If the elephant is on top of the tree, can you kill it?
Yeah.
Zoo edition of Extra Time here. Natum's Interior Decorator for Colin. Start, bench, drop. This is Samuel Eto'o, Mohamed Salah, or George Weah.
Mm.
Of course, most famous for being the father of U.S. international Tim Weah.
Okay, so let me answer this question in two ways. And I think I might have answered it before. If it comes to African football, and when I say African football, like the AFCON, for instance, I'd start Samuel Eto'o. bench Mohamed Salah and drop George Weah. Now, if it comes to world football in general, I'll start George Weah, bench Samuel Eto'o, and drop Mohamed Salah.
All right.
Hey, I want to tell you, I don't know if it's AFCON or world football. I'm starting George Weah all day, yep. Every day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep.
Well, he was. I mean, he was with Liberian team, and they didn't do nothing at AFCON. In fact, they actually got beaten home and away by Nigeria and other countries. So, I mean, when it comes to African football, maybe just because of this cast they didn't have, he just couldn't do well. But when it comes to world football, had a great cast around him, and he was, I mean, of course, a phenomenal player.
Let's dive into fashion here, shall we? Does Stevie know how much Don's T-shirt costs?
What? T-shirt?
Now, we know Don likes to wear kind of high-end, fancy clothes. Yeah, give us a make. Ooh, I don't know what that logo is, but it looks like it costs a pretty penny. What do you think Don's wearing? Like a $100 shirt, $200 shirt?
I have absolutely no idea.
Let me ask you this. What do your shirts cost?
Not $100.
A lot. Don, you want to break the news? What is the cost?
How much is a pint of milk?
A pint, I don't know, pints. A gallon of milk is like $3-4.
Are you sure?
No.
See, you're not. See, I'm the same with when it comes to style.
That's about right. I think $3-4.
That's only because Pete told you.
Well, what do you think most of what I say is? This is what Pete tells me.
All right. $90.
Yeah. Hey, go to Costco, baby.
Okay. Don, what is the price of your very fancy shirt there?
Well, it's a jumper, so it's wool.
Oh.
So it's about $150.
Wow.
Hey,
it's wool.
It was wool. Quick.
It's,
hey, he was quick with that.
It's wool.
Yeah.
It's wool.
Yeah.
That's $150 is nothing for Don. He hands that out at the truck stop.
I get itchy.
I'll give more away.
Sporty cardigan.
I'll give more away at a cash point.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Yeah, you have.
Yeah, you
and your internet provider as well.
Yeah.
Look, I don't know. I don't want to start a big controversy here because we've had our fights already on the show. Production is saying they have access to this thing called Google, and that shirt's a $450 shirt.
Ah, no chance.
I don't know.
No chance.
Maybe you're throwing money away.
I'm not paying that. No,
that just tells me Don has the hookup. Like he's got friends.
Where are you guys from? I'm a clearance shelf.
Hey, I can get it on clearance. Yeah. That's right.
Of course, the Super Bowl is being played.
Oh, actually, Colin, did you wash that jersey at some stage?
I think my wife may have done
Schoolboy error, man.
Where's all the signatures?
Exactly.
Not my fault. I'm going to frame it after now. Nobody's touching it anymore.
Yeah, let's not get anybody's wife in trouble. Let's not start.
Or get Colin in trouble.
Yes, exactly. I was going to mention the Super Bowl is actually kicking off, I think,
like,
right around now. Yeah, so this is a football question. If Steve Nichol played in the NFL, what position would he play and why?
I would be running back.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, you were like kind of short, pretty shifty. Is that what you're
thinking? Oh, no, sorry, wrong position. Receiver.
You want the glory. You want to make the catch. Yeah.
Well, I used to play rugby.
Ah, okay.
When I was younger. So I was good at running the ball, running past people.
Well, you got good hands?
Yeah.
How about jump? How about jumping ability?
Aye, absolutely. Aye.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You think so?
No, I would have been a wide receiver.
Yeah? A slot receiver. I see him like a Wes Welker type. I'm going. Ali, you're a big football guy. What do you think? Stevie is a wide receiver?
Yeah. Yeah, I see that, but I, there's an element of toughness to Stevie's game that maybe you can play him as a tight end.
Oh.
I'm just saying. And one of these sort of hybrid guys, right? Yeah, so to your point, yes, a slot receiver would be great for Stevie. I'm with you there.
What's that?
You just asked me if he was play slot receiver, and I said, I'm with you there.
Sorry.
You're not even paying attention.
You weren't listening.
I got a text from the producer.
Yeah, you're not paying attention.
Okay.
His text was listen.
He goes, what's that? Well, I'm answering your question.
Can you listen
that's
to
all.
The panels, please?
Our final question is also football related. It comes from Norwegian Racing Fish.
Oh,
let's get everybody's Super Bowl prediction on the record. We'll start with our guest from afar. Don, who you got in the Super Bowl? In case you don't know, it's Kansas City and San Francisco.
Mahomes. Is that 49ers? Mahomes?
No.
No.
That was actually great analysis. Just bet Mahomes. Yeah, just the team wrong. He's with Kansas City.
That's the wrong team.
Just bet on him. Bet on him.
Unless he's done a quick trade earlier on the day.
Bet on him.
Oh, yeah. You win, Don. You win either way.
Whoever he plays for, bet on him.
All right.
Okay, so Mahomes and the Chiefs is Don's pick. Colin, who you got?
Oh, he's thinking about it.
Okay, still pondering. Well, while we wait for
there's only two teams, Colin.
I think we may have lost touch there.
See, it looks as though he can't hear us.
Yep. Maybe he's just ignoring
us. Oh, his internet's gone.
I think my connection was a bit
He's taking excuse from me. He just doesn't listen anymore.
He's back. Who do you got?
Who will win the Super Bowl? Yes.
I'm going with, if the Chiefs receivers can keep their hands from getting slippery, and just keep the balls and just pick up the balls that Mahomes throws to them, I think it goes to Mahomes because a generational quarterback. For 49ers, they got a better team. I think Christian McCaffrey might be the difference against Brock Purdy. But I think that Mahomes is such a generational quarterback that I think I'm going with Kansas City Chiefs.
Okay, Colin's giving it a full NFL primetime. NFL countdown, here we go.
Yeah, you might have to save wear that Nigeria jersey a little bit more. They're going to be calling you over for NFL work here on ESPN before long. Who you got, Ali?
Oh, I'm all about love. I'm Travis Kelce, some Taylor Swift action.
Really?
That's right. I'm taking Kansas City. And, he may have been mentioned before. Patrick Mahomes. If you have Mahomes, you got a chance.
Steve, you're a big football guy. Chiefs?
Yep.
All right.
Okay, so bet the 49ers, I guess.
Usually when there's a consensus on this show.
Yeah, go the other way.
It's a good bet to go the other way. All right, that'll do it for this edition of Extra Time. By the way, 450 was incorrect. I just saw the link. $540. The retail value.
Oh, it's not.
Wow.
It's not. It's no chance.
They're making it rain.
I'm coming for that shit.
No, I'll swap it for yours, Cole.
I was about to say, which one's more valuable?
Nobody's getting this one.
Pre-watch it was Collins. Post-watch, yes. I don't know.
There it is. All right. Don, Colin, great stuff. Great to have you with us here on Extra Time. Hope everybody will join us for the next edition of ESPN FC. We'll be back here on ESPN Plus, starting live 6 p.m. Eastern on Monday.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate is to not search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/FC. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.